नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी विल रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 11, Chapter 3, entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy, Text 43. Go to verse. Sri Avirhotra Vacha, Karma Karma Vikarme Di. Veda vado na lokita Vedasya cha svaratma krat Tatra muyanti suraya Sri Abhirotra vacha Karma karma vikarmeti Veda vado na lokitaha Vedasya cha svaratmatvat Tatra muyanti surayaha Karma karma vikarmeti Veda vado na lokitaha Vedasya cha svaratmatvat Tatra muyanti suraya Please chant. Sri Avirhotra vacha Karma karma vikarmeti Veda vado na lokika Vedasva chasvaratmatva Tatra muyanti suraya Karma karma vikarmeti Veda vado na lokika Vedasacheshvaratvatma Tatra muyanti sura Karma karma vikarmeti Vedavado nalokika Vedasacheshvaratvatma Tatra muyanti suraya. What is? Sri Avirhotra vacha. Karma karma vikarmeti. Veda vado na lokikaha. Vedasya chesvaratmatva Tatra muyanti suraya Sri Avirhotra vacha Karma karma vikarmeti Veda vado na lokika Vedasya chesvaratmatva Tatra muyanti suraya Word for word. Sri Avirhotra uvacha. The sage Avirhotra said, karma, the execution of duties prescribed by scripture, akarma, failure to perform such duties, vikarma, engagement in forbidden activities, iti, thus, veda vadaha, subject matter understood through the Vedas, na, not, lokikaha, mundane, vedasya, of the Vedas, cha, and, Ishwara Atmatvat, because of coming from the personality of Godhead himself. Tatra, in this matter, Muyanti, become confused. Surayaha, even great scholarly authorities. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Siddhartha Vedanta Sri Prabhupada. Translation, Sri Avrahotra replied, prescribed duties, non-performance of such duties, and forbidden activities are topics one can properly understand through authorized study of the Vedic literature. This difficult subject matter can never be understood by mundane speculation. The authorized Vedic literature is a sound incarnation of the personality of Godhead himself, and thus Vedic knowledge is perfect. Even the greatest learned scholars are bewildered in their attempts to understand the science of action if they neglect the authority of Vedic knowledge. Purport, prescribed duties authorized by revealed scripture are called karma, whereas the failure to execute one's highest duty is called akarma. The performance of forbidden activities is called vikarma. Thus, karma, akarma, and vikarma are established by the authorized explanations of Vedic literature. They cannot be ascertained merely through mundane exercise in logic. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, Text 51, the Lord says, Sabda Brahma Param Brahma Mabobe Shashvate Tanu. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations of the Vedas, such as Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental Vedic sound and the eternal, blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Similarly, it is stated in the Bhagavatam 6.1.40, Vedo Narayana Shakshad Swayambhur Iti Sushruma. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. In the Purusha Shukta, Rig Veda, Mandala 10, Shukta 90, Mantra 9, it is stated, Tasmad Yajnat Sarvahuta Richa Samani Jajrine, Jajnire, Chandamsi Jajnire Tasmat. From him, Yajna, came all sacrificial offerings, hymns of invocation and songs of praise. All the mantras of the Vedas come from the Lord. All incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are completely transcendental and free from the four defects of conditional life, namely mistakes, illusion, cheating, and imperfect senses. So Vedic knowledge, being a plenary manifestation of the Supreme Lord, is similarly infallible and transcendental. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that in the material world, which is controlled by the illusory energy of the Lord, a particular sound vibration is discarded after describing its object. But on the spiritual platform called Vaikuntha, nothing is ever lost. And thus, Shabda Brahma, or the personality of Godhead in a form as transcendental sound is eternal. In ordinary human discourse, one can ascertain the meaning of human words by understanding the intention of the speaker. But since Vedic knowledge is aparushaya, or transcendental, one can appreciate its purport only by hearing from the standard authorities in the chain of disciplic succession. This process is described by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam. Thus, even highly learned scholars who probably neglect this simple descending process are certainly bewildered and embarrassed in their helpless attempt to ascertain the ultimate meaning of Vedic knowledge. The four sons of Lord Brahma declined to answer the question of King Nimi, since at that time the king was a mere child and therefore not capable of seriously surrendering to the process of hearing through disciplic succession. Srila Madhvacharya has pointed out in this regard, Ishvarat Matvat, Ishwara Vishayatvat. Because the Vedas describe the unlimited personality of Godhead, Vedic knowledge cannot be approached by mundane methods of comprehension. Om Jnanatimurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Tritanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Vitalation Matishila Deva Upaviti Namana Sri Sri Vrindata Vivira Pada Padpanka Jadana Prabhupada Nukadaya Namashi Jadabhavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vitalation Matibhati Vedanta Swami Namana Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaurabhaya Pachayana Vishesha Samadhani Prasthaya Vitalation Hare Krishna. So, to understand a little more on this subject matter, I would like to back up a little bit in the ending of the previous chapter and somewhat in the beginning of this chapter. There is something quite interesting that Maharaj Nimi said, and that is what leads to these questions and thus these answers. Quite interestingly, and to some extent quite confusingly, he said that with all you have given me this wonderful knowledge, I'm still not satisfied. Therefore, I want to hear more, and he presented these questions. So, that posed a question in my mind as to why Maharaj Nimi would make such a statement that the knowledge is perfect, the knowledge is complete, nothing is wrong with it, but he's asking for details. So is it anything wrong with the sages in their presentation? No. Is there anything wrong with Maharaj Nimi in his dissatisfaction? Yet again, the answer is no. So then, why is it that he's expressing this, that dissatisfaction and asking for more? So one way to respond to that is that whilst the knowledge is complete, what was given to him so far, he would like to have details. He would like to, you know, question details. And he's repeating, and this was leading up to where we are today, that he had asked these questions when he was a child to the four Kumaras. They refused to answer him. They didn't answer on the basis that he was a child and he wasn't quite ready to surrender to the process. So, in a sense, wait until you get older. I know, like many times, sometimes at home, I would ask a question, you know, or ask, why did I say to do such and such? And I said, just do it, you know, later you'll figure it out or you'll understand. So, based on that what Maharaj Nimi was questioning is that whilst the knowledge is perfect, for his sake, which is can be a personal thing, and of course it's for the purpose of us understanding Bhagavatam, that he's requesting details. So there are some people, some devotees, who would accept, and as a matter of fact, all of us accept, and this is Srila Prabhupada's great power, and as such, you know, this is my offering to him from yesterday, that this is his great power to present Krishna consciousness in a way that we just accept, even without fully understanding details. Once when he was challenged by, I think it was Indian congregations, about his Western followers, he remarked, he said, their great qualification is that they simply follow what I say. They don't question, they simply follow. And of course, we know that at that time, this part of the Bhagavatam wasn't written that explained, give all these details. It was just Srila Prabhupada gave his instructions, he gave his guidance, and everyone accepted. So that's his great quality of presenting it in such a way. And sometimes he would also trick us with his affection. Like, for example, when Shyamasundara Prabhu was had to go to jail. So he told Srila Prabhupada that I have to go away for some time, I have to go to jail. So Srila Prabhupada said, oh, don't worry about that. Krishna was born in jail. What's the big thing? So he made it in such a pleasant way. And then Srila Prabhupada said, oh, but why do you have to go to jail? He said, oh, because I had some dealings with drugs. Prabhupada said, oh, don't worry about that. I was also a drug dealer. Because Srila Prabhupada was a pharmacist, so you know he had his. Then he explained how others had wanted to use his opium license. So he said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I was also a drug dealer. Of course, that's patent drugs." But in that way, Srila Prabhupada trapped his devotees lovingly to keep them in the process. So that's Srila Prabhupada's great expertise. So as far as details in those days, not a lot of details were available. So here, like, we have different categories, of activities going on. Like, you find so many devotees serving so nicely, even on the altar, so many devotees serving so nicely. If you ask them to explain in detail what they're doing, maybe some outsiders, they probably won't be able to explain so much. But they're convinced and they have the faith that this is instruction, this is loving service, and they go on. So there are some devotees who would like to understand more details as to what they're doing, or you know, the more intricate aspects of our philosophy. Just like here, we have one devotee. Sometimes he asked me about work, and I would give an answer. Then he would say, "Well, show me reference." So I would quote the like the Florida law to show him reference that where these are there. So once the knowledge is complete, he wants more details. So nothing is wrong with that. So nothing is wrong. So just like Srila Prabhupada describes about the Bhagavad Gita, that is like the ABC of Vedic knowledge. It doesn't mean that it is not complete. And then the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita is going up to the postgraduate level. As we would understand here later in the Bhagavatam, especially in the, where you come around to the Urva section, where Lord Krishna will continue giving the same knowledge he gave in Bhagavad Gita, but in more detail and more expansively. So it's just like a child. You at kindergarten school, the formula is there, 1 + 1 = 2. At the university level, it's the same thing, 1 + 1 = 2. But there, they give a lot of details, extreme details as how 1 + 1 = 2. So for the child, they accept 1 + 1 = 2. The university student also accepts 1 + 1 = 2. But there, you know, you can have more details. So similarly, it's like here, Maharaj Nini was, the knowledge given to him was complete, but he wasn't satisfied because he's asking for details. He wants to understand more the subject matter. Just like we have different categories of devotees. Some are just living at home or living simply, so just practice Krishna consciousness is good enough. Some people might be preachers out there going on university levels, going on international scales. So when you go out there, you need to present the philosophy in a scientific way, in a biological way, in a physical way, in so many different ways. So you have to understand more of the subject matter. So then more details are necessary. It's not that the one who just accepts that that knowledge is imperfect and the one who asks for details that he has some doubts. No, just that there are different categories, and giving more details is what helps you to understand the subject matter more and more. So yet again, the subject as it is complete. The details is for additional information. So that just gives a background as to coming to this subject matter here today. So what is explained as in this chapter, there are four subjects that are explained. One is the nature of the illusory energy. Two, how to get out of the grips of the illusory energy. Three, the nature of the Supreme Person, Lord Narayan. And four, how to get out of material activities. So, interestingly enough, and again, confusingly enough, two of these subjects are like the same. The second topic of how to get out of the illusory energy, and the fourth topic as to how to get out of material activities, almost sounds like the same, but there are details to that. So in so doing, coming to today's verse, which leads up here now, is Maharaj Avirhotra is explaining, he's one of the nine Yogendras, as we all know, we've been going through the Bhagavatam, this chapter. I wasn't here for a while, so I'm pretty sure this is all discussed. So now, one of the nine Yogendras is answering to Maharaj Nimi's question. And today, he's describing the activities of karma, akarma, and vikarma. So coming back to our great fortune here, as what Srila Prabhupada offered us, he offered from the day one, he offered us karma, like prescribed duties, activities to be performed. And he did it in such a way, such a sweet transcendental way, that we didn't even think of engaging in like the karmic activities. It's so sweet, and the way he presented it. And sometimes, yet again, you know, he would lovingly trick the devotees away from those activities. Like, for example, in the early days, the devotees were going into the donut shops to eat from there. But then Srila Prabhupada pointed on the sign. He said, "You see what it says? It says, do not.
I know.
He said, I do not. He said, you see, look at it. It says, do not. So don't. You know? So that is such a sweet, loving way of bringing us from vikarmic activities, forbidden activities, to karmic activities on a transcendental sense. We're not talking about from the karma kind of sense here. So, yet, Srila Prabhupada presents this, Krishna consciousness in such a way. And yet again, in those days, all these details weren't available. In the beginning days, they only had the first few cantos of Bhagavatam, then later on Krishna book, and all the others, those devotees who were fortunate, I would say, in a sense, to be there in those days. It was totally on the strength of Srila Prabhupada, the faith and the strength and his presentation of Vedic knowledge. So that's what acharya means. Not more so acharya, that's what founder acharya means. I know there's a whole paper on this topic. Acharya, founder acharya, and founder hyphen acharya. It all has different connotations. So Srila Prabhupada being a founder hyphen acharya, which makes a whole lot of difference. You're probably not going to go into detail of that today. That he has the potency and the authority to present Krishna consciousness in a way acceptable to all. Like, for example, in this purport, where the first quote from the Bhagavatam 6:16:51, where it talks about the holy name, that is there, he says, I am the form of the transcendental vibration of the Vedas, such as Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. But I'm pretty sure if you check in that verse there, you're not going to see Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. But Srila Prabhupada and his strength and his being a founder acharya, and also on the strength of the other verses like Kalau Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, that Krishna manifests as his holy names. So on the basis of those things that Srila Prabhupada and us, the disciples, can put such a statement as translations. Like many times if you look at the translations, you're going to find that Srila Prabhupada fork a meaning out from somewhere else, that look at it word for word, you're not going to see it. And yet it's perfectly accepted by the general mass because of that potency. So then coming to today's verse that we talked about, these activities, so we understand that karma means activities that are prescribed for us. Akarma is when we don't perform those activities, and vikarma is forbidden activities that are not allowed to be performed. So as described here, it's a very complicated subject matter, and how to understand it can be a total nightmare if we rule out surrender and acceptance of Guru's instruction. So Srila Prabhupada gave us the easy way, and ISKCON is giving us the easy way to simply accept these instructions. If you simply accept and follow these activities, then automatically the forbidden activities would go away, and we can get the understanding. This understanding can come. Just like you have a child, you, instead of telling the child not to play with sand and dirt and putting that in your mouth, then you simply replace that activity by giving. Instead of telling not to do that, you give pencil and paper and candies. So then that, with a higher taste, that replaces those. So this is Srila Prabhupada's and our philosophy with its constructive preaching. Constructive means to get one to move from one to the next by offering a positive alternative. Like you have constructive criticism and you have envious criticism. Like sometimes, I know in the beginning days when I used to go in Sankirtan, I didn't know anything much, just joined the movement, joined the join the movement today and start going to distribute books tomorrow. You know, have no clue what's in the books in any case. But we had this conviction that this is, you know, much better, much more pleasurable activity to do and to help others. So in my early days, I used to like pretty much, you know, criticize other people for performing bad activities. And we used to get a lot of challenges from especially the, you know, the Christian folks. And we would have huge arguments and also some Mayavadis. Huge arguments. Even if, you know, we don't know philosophy, but we just argue to death just so that they don't tell us that we're wrong. So anyway, but afterwards, as we grow, we understand that we offer a positive alternative. Okay, you know, forget about that. Don't worry. Let's not argue about those activities. Let's not discuss that. Just engage in these activities. Let's, you know, come over here. And that becomes so loving and so sweet. So all this is done through the Vedic authority, and that's the subject of today's verse. To engage in activities on the strength of parampara and understand these in the strength of parampara, understand these on the strength of Vedic knowledge, which as described here is an incarnation of Krishna himself. Vedic knowledge, which includes his holy names, are also his incarnation, and as such they are unborn, that they are not, there's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. And it's perfect. Unlike our activities that are imperfect, you know, our senses are imperfect, we have the tendency to cheat, and so forth. So these activities, as the Yugendras are explain the detail as to what was already being explained, like in Bhagavad Gita, for example, all these are explained, and it's complete, but you can say it's just short. So maybe that's one reason why Srila Prabhupada says that the Bhagavad Gita is like the ABC of Vedic knowledge. It doesn't mean that it's incomplete yet again. We want to make that point clear. It's complete, but you can say it's short. It's not a whole lot of detail. So one can use the Bhagavad Gita and make his life perfect. There's nothing short there. Coming into the Bhagavatam, you have more details, and especially coming to the 11th canto, where Krishna would continue speaking and explaining more on that. So that's how these verses are coming about, because Maharaj Nimi wants to get more details of this subject matter. So there's a difference between accepting and satisfying. The knowledge, you know, he accepted, but he wants more detail for his personal satisfaction. So that may not apply to all of us. Some of us, you just tell us what to do, and we do. Some we question. And I like with my kids, you know, one of them should always question, why do this, why not do that, why? And we have to give full details. The others, they just accept, okay, Peter said that, Mata said that, they do. But one, no, she wants details. So nothing is wrong with that, you know, to give details. And that's what is going on here in today's topic, to give details of these subject matters which were already described. So, in summary, today we talked about Maharaj Nimi's expressing his dissatisfaction, and thus the sages coming to this point of discussing these four subject matters of the nature of the illusory energy, how to get out from the illusions grips, the nature of the Supreme Being, Lord Narayan, and how to get out of material activities. We also talked about the three different types of activities, karma, akarma, and vikarma. And we also talked about how Srila Prabhupada presented this knowledge in such a way that is very acceptable to us. We have no question because presented in such a sweet way, and how some devotees can simply accept, some for purpose of preaching would need details into these subject matters so that they can present it to the outside world. So, are there any questions, Madam Mohan Prabhu? Can you give him the mic, please? I guess you can.
Anusuyaveda. If you're non-envious, Yasya Devi Grah Bhaktir, then all the Vedas, the purports are revealed, and then it says, if you know the purpose behind 246, the small web, and then you just go to 1515, by all the Vedas I'm to be known, so it makes a little circle there that, in other words, you just have, like Prabhupada, we have faith in Prabhupada, so the purport, which is to know Krishna, 1515, that's automatically known, and then all the details, the purports, what it is, the purports are automatically revealed just by the Anusuyaveda, which is Prabhupada's charm. So it just seemed like that was a special mercy of the quality of Prabhupada's interaction with us, that it invoked that, that faith by which things became revealed, and that the purpose is always just to know Krishna. And you kind of know Krishna by knowing Prabhupada. Yes.
Yeah, that's actually, that is how I kind of tricked myself when I first came. It's like when I first joined the movement, I didn't like reading too much. And I saw there's so many literatures and so many, the whole Bhagavatam, and I start counting the numbers. I said, oh my God, my whole life going to finish and I can't finish this. So how can I understand? But then I said, okay, I'll trick myself that I'll start to read Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita. That way I can understand the personality, because to understand his movement, if we understand his person, we can very easily understand his mood, what he wants to present. And that's how I came to start like really getting into Lilamrita. So, and in that faith, depends on what is needed, that will be presented. As what is needed for every individual devotee, that would be revealed. Like, for example, the brahmanas and their wives, they were performing all these rituals and all these sacrifices. And their wives, very simple, apparently not much education, but they understood the higher purpose that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should make that sacrifice. Radharani and the gopis didn't appear as though they ever went to school. But still, Radharani is her one of our principal names is Hari Rasa Pandita. That she understand all the rasas, all the conclusions. She is the greatest pandit, and she never quoted a verse. So what is, you know, with that faith, Yasya Devi Parabhakti Yata Devi Pitaguru. You know, it's automatically revealed, and that may not be revealed by expressing of words, but it's more expressing of actions. So that's just a comment on that. Pran Govinda Prabhu?
I was thinking, but it is necessary to focus also on details, because in Bhagavad Gita 8.2, 8 chapter 2nd sloka, Arjuna addressed Krishna as Madhusudan, and in Parpur Prabhupada writes, because he's a killer of demon Madhu. Doubts are like demons. That's how Prabhupada put it. And he says, one should not be happy with the doubts. And then if you go to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the famous verse, Siddhanta Valiya Chitte Natara Alas, Yahweku Krishna Nagasudhira Manas. If any devotee has any doubts, and thinking, according to Prabhupada's translation and purport, that, well, I don't want to be part of this conflict, contradictory, or some kind of political, whatever bothering me, then Srila Prabhupada said he will not be able to fix his mind on Krishna. He will be hanging around amongst devotees, but he will not get the taste of Krishna consciousness. So it is necessary to bring the mind fixed at lotus feet of Krishna. In order to bring the doubt, details are required. Doubt has to be removed. And also, on this sloka, I was thinking also, very nicely you explained. Another point also in previous chapter, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Guru, I believe, third or fourth sloka, he says, Maharaj Nimi is a pure devotee. So for him, it is not necessary to ask all these questions. He already actually aware. He's a Mahabhagavata. But he looked at his audience, when Nava Jogendra arrived, he has a big audience, and mostly are Karmakandis and Gyanis. For their benefit, he being merciful to them, he asked in a way that he needs to hear.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's a purpose. Like every verse of the Bhagavatam has a purpose behind it. You know, so even with Krishna also, Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield, it described that Arjuna already had all his knowledge, but he questioned and he presented himself in such a way for our benefit. And the other thing, I think there is a slight difference between what I have said and what you have said in terms of your first comment about details is necessary. My thoughts are that they're not always necessary. For some people it's necessary because they may have a doubt, or for the purpose of preaching work or whatever it's necessary. For others that will just accept, sometimes we term it as accepting blindly, which doesn't apply to our society. By just accepting and following, you know, they may have no doubt. All they want to do is they just want to follow, you know, so that's perfect. Others, they want to understand why we want to follow, and that's where details comes in. Others may have a doubt, like I think Hari Parayana Prabhu explained when he first gave the Krishna consciousness. He had so many doubts, and because of that he starts studying so much. You know, some people may study because they want to understand all details. Like, that's like one of my motives behind, you know, any studies I do. I want to understand the subject matter more. Not that I don't accept it, but I want to understand more. Some may have to have a doubt, so therefore details are necessary. So there are different categories. There are different categories there. So, any other questions? So, Nanda Priya.
Could you briefly explain the three differences between Acharya, Pandracharya, and
Pandracharya? Oh, I was thinking that question may come. Okay. So, Acharya means one who preaches by example. You know, you set the example and you preach. Yeah. Sometimes some people think that, well, in some Karmakandic section, they also talks about just like a guru or a teacher. But Acharya basically means one who preaches by example. Then you have founder Acharya is one who founds, like found a society or an organization, and they're the leader of that organization, and they're giving a certain level of teaching, whatever that may be. So that's founder Acharya. In the case of founder hyphen Acharya, as in Srila Prabhupada, if you are old enough, you'll probably remember or learn from the other devotees that when some of Srila Prabhupada's books were printed, some they just had founder Acharya without the hyphen, and Srila Prabhupada corrected that no, that's wrong, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So founder hyphen Acharya comes to the point of one who was particularly empowered through the parampara to present Krishna consciousness, the details of Krishna consciousness, in such a way that may apparently show like it's effecting some changes, but it's still in line and gets the blessing through that parampara to create, let's say, like a movement like ISKCON, to create the society that can go on perfectly for a very long time. For example, Lord Brahma, he's like a founder Acharya. He founded the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. So he's the founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada's founder Acharya of ISKCON, he change some of his, like one of his guru's instruction, like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he had, okay, regulation 64 rungs per day. Srila Prabhupada changed that to 16 rungs per day and empowered that instruction in such a way that it is just as perfect as what his Guru Maharaj gave. So you see that difference there? There are a lot more details, but in a nutshell, so that's Srila Prabhupada's special position as founder Acharya, that he's able to give us something that some details are changed a little bit, but it's completely perfect and it can be applied in every situation for what Srila Prabhupada said, my books would be the law books for the next 10,000 years. Let everyone can say that. So, does that explain? Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.